the arts.
You can earn an accredited MBA from Florida Atlantic University. FAU offers a professional MBA on weeknights and an executive MBA on weekends. Programs that start in August include individual leadership assessment and executive coaching, an international trip option, and VIP service. GMAT is waived for qualifying students. Information sessions and more available online at faumba.com. That's faumba.com.
And we return. It's today's topical currents, Joseph Cooper along with Bonnie Berman. And Dr. Paul George is in the studio for our South Florida history quiz. Of course, Bonnie Berman is our question and answer keeper. Probably the roughest job. You ready to go, right?
I'm ready.
Keep us on track.
Keep you on track.
Okay, so here's the lay of the land. Dr. George and I pose history questions. Excuse me. And if you have answers, call us at 800-743-9576. That's 800-743-WLRN. Now, and this is very important, you must correctly answer a question in order to ask one. Repeat, you must correctly answer a question in order to ask one. Please, no freelance questions to Dr. George. So we begin with the first question from Paul George, who is not a member of the Indiana Pacers, by the way.
Exactly. I've been kidded a lot about that in the last week, too. I've got a question. Coconut Grove's Camp Biscayne, an upscale development on Main Highway of today, remembers in its name an earlier tourist community on that site, owned and operated by which early Coconut Grove heavyweight? Who operated and owned
By heavyweight, Camp you mean what?
Very prominent Importance. Coconut Groveite, a huge promoter of the community.
Why don't you add another one?
Fort Lauderdale's Springtime Revelry, which took off after World War II, grew out of an earlier annual event, which was, in other words, what we knew as Springtime Fort Lauderdale began sometime earlier than that, in sort of a different fashion.
Okay. Again, our telephone number, if you have answers, 1-800-743-9576. 1-800-743-WLRN. And today there's no email or Twitter. We want to hear from you
right
on the history quiz. I can go with my Bonnie. Excuse me, I can't get my throat clear.
Frog in your throat.
Yes, I do. Name the longtime editor. This is number two. Longtime editor, columnist, and travel writer of the long defunct Miami News. He began there in 1950. He retired in 1978. He died in 2001. Also, this gentleman who worked the Miami News so many years covered the 1937 Hindenburg disaster. What a scene that must have been.
And you want to ask another one?
Okay. We'll go with, I seem to be preoccupied with Henry Flagler today. Henry Morrison Flagler, perhaps the most influential figure in modern Florida, was born in 1830. He later became a partner of John D. Rockefeller, of course. But before that association with Rockefeller, he had a business which went belly up. What was that business? And Paul, tell us about the, while we're waiting for calls to come, tell us about your tours and what's on the horizon.
Well, I've got a wonderful Stiltsville Key Biscayne tour coming up on Sunday from 9 a.m. to 11:30. And that essentially ends the tour season with History Miami for this year. Begins again next fall.
How do you tour Stiltsville?
I'm sorry?
How do you tour Stiltsville?
We go on a boat. We leave Bayside. We cross the mouth of the river en route to the Rickenbacker Causeway and then up along the Bayside of Key Biscayne and out the Cape Florida Channel to deep water, then come right back through the Biscayne Channel, which takes you right through the center of Stiltsville. Okay. So I talk about each of the seven houses still standing. There were 27 on the eve of Hurricane Donna in 1960.
And now they're
down to seven since Hurricane Andrew. Mm-hmm.
And how about the classes?
Teach Miami South Florida history. The next one starts in August of this year. Looking forward to it very much.
I keep saying I'm going to do that, and I never get around to
it. I wish you would. Wish you would. It's half tours, half lecture.
Again, our number, it's the history quiz, 1-800-743-WLRN, 1-800-743-WLRN. 9576. First caller, this is Ben in Boca Raton. Ben, you're up.
I think the answer to the third question, the Miami news writer, is that Paul Bruin?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I know the answer to the first question. The first question is George Merritt, who promoted Coconut Grove. Is that right?
No, it wasn't George Merritt. Not too far away. Now. Not too far away geographically, but it's not that person.
Oh, okay. I need to put my South Florida history. Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Of course, Merrick was Coral Gables.
Right.
Let's see, Matt in Fort Lauderdale. Hi.
Hey, pertaining to the springtime event in Fort Lauderdale.
Right.
Didn't it start from the Swimming Hall of Fame events where all the colleges come down and compete?
It did. There was an intercollegiate swim meet there beginning in the mid-30s around Christmas holidays. At that point, the swimming venue was Los Olos Casino, which was a wonderful swimming pool.
Saltwater pool.
So he's correct.
Right, he is correct, yeah.
Right.
And do you have a question for us?
No, thank you, though.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Thanks.
And we move along to Bill in Miami. Hi, Bill.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Bill from Miami Archives, Dr. George.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Okay, I think I had the answer to the question about the Coconut Grove heavyweight.
Right.
Ralph Monroe?
You got it.
Okay.
Well, you're out of questions, Paul.
Yeah.
Do you have a
and now,
question?
And now I have to look him up, and maybe I'll do something on my blog about him. But
sounds good.
I got a question for Joseph, if that's okay. Is that all right?
Okay.
Joseph, there was I don't know the two reporters that you mentioned from the Miami News, but I'm waiting to hear that answer. But I'll ask you a question, and I work with this gentleman. Longtime Miami News reporter, started in right after World War II, covered the death of Al Capone, retired in the 70s, and the day after he retired, he went to work for the Associated Press. He's the quintessential, Howard Kleinberg once called him the greatest newsman that ever lived. Who am I
talking
about?
Be Nixon Smiley, would it?
No, Nixon was with the Herald. I'm talking about the Miami News. I'll give you another clue.
John Kiesler?
No, John was a columnist, and not quite as old as it. I'll give you one more clue. He was in the basement when Ruby shot Oswald, and I'm sure Dr. George knows this, but
boy, you've got me stumped.
You know Dr. George?
No, you've got me stumped also.
Milt Sosin.
Oh.
The great Milt Sosin.
That's interesting because he wrote into his 80s when he died. He was a fantastic reporter. You know, he lived across from the Miami News and was on the river, and he would sometimes use a pedal boat from Spring Garden where he lived, pedaled across the river to work.
Well, he left the news, and then I ran into him when I was a freelance photographer of the Associated Press, and he was their courthouse stringer. And they've actually, after they found out who he was, they named the press room after him. In other words, when they found out who he was, they realized that they'd had this guy in there that'd seen so much history. They named the press room after him in the federal courthouse.
Okay, Bill, we've got a lot of questions.
Thank you, Bill.
I'm looking forward to hearing.
He was terrific.
Answers.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
Okay, Paul, you're out of questions now.
Okay, I'm going to go to another question then. Name the barefoot mailman who lost his life trying to ford an inlet off of the Atlantic Ocean.
Okay, and another.
While a Key West resident, Ernest Hemingway authored which of his famous novels? Lived in Key West in the 30s.
Okay, and Joe, you want me to read your two questions?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, Joe's two questions, the longtime editor, columnist, and travel writer of the defunct Miami News. He began there in 1950, retired in 1978, died in 2001. And Henry Flagler, born in 1830, became a partner of John D. Rockefeller, but before that, he had a business which went belly up. What was it?
Okay, let's continue on with Henry Flagler then.
You're going to ask another one?
Yeah.
Okay.
After Henry Flagler's Overseas Railroad was destroyed by hurricane in 1935, how was what we now know as the Overseas Highway developed through Monroe County? In other words, how was the funding of the highway construction gained? And we'll move along to Ed in North Miami Beach.
Hi. The editor of the news question already get answered?
No.
Okay, that's Jack Kasowitz, I'm pretty sure.
Jack Haswitz was there a long time, but that's not what we're looking for. He's an editor, columnist, and also a travel writer of the old Miami News.
I blew that one.
Wow. That was a good guess, though.
Right. And say hello to Paul George. It's Ed O'Donnell.
Oh, thank you, Ed.
Oh, you do a great job.
I remember Ed O'Donnell. Okay, this is Kindy or Kindy?
Yes. The first one is, what was the question?
Which question did you want to answer about?
The first and second of the first part of the program.
Well, we got Dr. George's questions already.
The one from Coconut Grove was the Lunty Trainer, and the travel editor of the news was Herb Rau.
Okay, well, there's a good one.
You've got Herb Rau, but...
What?
You've got the Herb Rau one.
Yeah.
Do you have a question for us?
Yes. How many years was the Miami Herald building standing before it's being torn down?
Well, it opened in 1963. They broke ground for it in 1960, so it's about 50 years even since its completion.
And is it completely torn down already?
Oh, no, not at all, but it's supposedly due to come down soon. There was a minor arson incident there a couple of days ago.
Right, I heard that, yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Appreciate
our telephone number, if you have answers, 1-800-743-WLRN. 1-800-743-9576. How about a recap?
Okay, Joe, you have two questions, both concerning Henry Flagler. One, that before he became a partner of John D. Rockefeller, he had a business which went belly up. What was it? And after Flagler's Overseas Railroad was destroyed by the hurricane in 1935, excuse me, what we now know is the Overseas Highway developed through Monroe County. How was that funded? And Dr. George's questions, name the barefoot mailman who lost his life trying to ford an inlet off the Atlantic Ocean. And while a Key West resident, Ernest Hemingway authored which of his famous novels?
And we have plenty of lines open if you want to get in. 1-800-743-9576. 1-800-743-WLRN. And this is Paul in Miami. Hi.
Hi. I want to say hello to Dr. George. He knows me. This is Paul Tasevich from Inter-American Campus. How are you doing,
Hi,
Doc?
Paul. Fine, thank you.
I have the answer to Flagler. I know he had a salt company during the Civil War, and as I understand it, the salt market collapsed at the end of the war. I guess the Army didn't need all that salt pork and salt beef anymore. So that's when his business went belly up.
You're absolutely correct. Do you have a question for us?
Yeah, after 1935 and the hurricane wiped out the Overseas Railway, did passenger service to Florida City and Homestead continue?
Did passenger service to Florida City and Homestead continue? The FEC Railway ran its railroad all the way down to the tip of the peninsula, and they continued to run it as a passenger operation till the very beginning, January of 1963. So I would imagine it did. Clearly, the depots around today's South Miami were active long after World War II. So I would say yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I understand as well. Okay. All right, Doc. I'll talk to you soon, I hope.
Thank you, Paul.
Okay. Take care.
Thank you.
It's the South Florida History Quiz with Dr. Paul George, Joseph Cooper, and it's topical currents. We're going to take a short break. Stay with us, and we'll be right back.
We're funded by listeners like you and by Disability Rights Florida, providing protection and advocacy services to people with disabilities statewide for 35 years. Disability Rights Florida, on the web at disabilityrightsflorida.org.
We're funded by listeners like you and by Florida City Gas and the Energy Smart Program. Businesses can run efficiently by switching to natural gas. Natural gas appliances can save energy and time. Business owners can learn about energy-saving ideas and how to switch to natural gas at floridacitygas.com.
Our Kids, the lead foster care agency for Miami-Dade and the Keys, reminds everyone that May is Foster Care Awareness Month. While Our Kids has dramatically reduced the number of children who enter the foster care system each year, there are still hundreds of children who need people in our community to open their homes, to help mentor and care for the most vulnerable among us. You can join the thousands who have known the joys of fostering a child by becoming a foster parent. Details at 855-786-KIDS, funded by Our Kids and the Florida Department of Children and Families.
And we return. It is today's Topical Currents. It's the History Quiz. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman, and Paul George. Let's take some more calls. I've got Mackenzie in Homestead. Hi.
Hi. This is Mackenzie.
Is it?
Yeah. Okay. I want to answer your question on Henry Flagler and the business of Belly Up. I was thinking maybe, I thought he was into fruit growing. Maybe pineapple groves? Or
we got that
groves?
Just before the break, ma'am. It was the salt business. Salt, of course, was used as a preservative during the Civil War, so when that war ended, the business went out.
Okay, and I also know he was involved with some oil tycooning of some sort.
Yeah, he was only a partner of John D. Rockefeller.
I was going to say, that's an understatement. Yeah. That's an understatement.
Okay, thanks. No, thanks for calling.
Okay, thank you.
And where are we?
Okay, Joe, you just have one question. We're looking at
the overseas highway
developed through Monroe County, how it was funded after the hurricane destroyed the Overseas Railroad in 1935. And from Dr. George, while a Key West resident, Ernest Hemingway authored which of his famous novels? And the barefoot mailman who lost his life trying to ford an inlet off the Atlantic Ocean, what was his name?
Let me add another one. I'm going to do this early because it's going to be kind of hard.
Okay.
Most every listener to this program has really little chance at this question. But thousands of people have come through the studios answering phones during pledge lines, drives, and also as guests. And there's a large performance studio, which we can see into right now, with a 100-year-old Steinway piano. There's a plaque which commemorates the studio's namesake. He managed the radio station from the early 1950s into the mid-1990s. Can any of our many guests or fans name him? Who is that large performance studio named for?
Okay.
And where are we on Paul? Well, we've got some people who want to talk about Hemingway. Let's take Juan Carlos in Miami. Hi.
Hi. The question as to what novel Hemingway wrote while the Keys, was it The Old Man and the Sea?
No, that came later on.
That was in Cuba.
Right. That came out in 1954. This is a little bit before that time. Memories in the Keys in the 30s, and in the famous house we all know as the Hemingway House is where he wrote the novel.
Okay. We move along to Scott in Boca. Hi.
Yes. Was it the Hemingway book? Was it The Sun Also Rises?
No, that came out earlier. He wrote a lot of that in Paris.
And next up, we have Rob in Hillsborough Beach.
Hi. I think James E. Hamilton was the barefoot mailman.
You got it. Sometimes known as Ed Hamilton. And we're not sure what happened to him, but he didn't emerge after he had crossed that little inlet off of the Atlantic Ocean around Pompano Beach.
Was there any foul play?
It was either an alligator or he drowned. We're not sure what happened. So it might have been foul play and part of a crocodile or alligator.
Okay. Paul has...
Yeah, you need another question now.
Okay, you want me to go ahead and ask?
Yeah.
This Key West denizen kept a home in Coconut Grove so he could enjoy productions of his works at the Coconut Grove Playhouse. Who was he?
You know, Paul, I'm used to you asking about murders. I'm not used to you asking about artists and
I was born on Halloween, so that's why the crime thing intrigues
me. The macabre.
Yes, exactly.
I know.
Well, especially when we had Edna Buchanan as the mystery guest. It was all
that
crime and
that's
mayhem.
Right.
And let's see. We'll go to Don in Miami. Hi. Don, you're
Hello.
Up.
Yes, hi.
Hello.
Yes. Hello. My question I want to answer regards the... building the room in WLRN, who's it named after?
Mm-hmm.
Right, that's the fantastic Don McCullough.
No, you were so close, I thought you had it.
He was the station manager.
He was the general manager, was the radio manager.
Okay.
I spoke with Don a couple of weeks ago on his birthday.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that.
And
he was a great, nice guy, super nice guy. I have a comment about the barefoot mailman, whose name I can't remember.
Right.
But a direct descendant of his was my daughter's science teacher at New World School of the Arts High School.
And, yes, you're talking about one of them, and you're right, the Oxar family. And he was an early barefoot mailman. Hamilton was somebody who was around in the late 1880s. Oxford is around at the end of the 1860s, early 70s. You're right about that. That family is very proud of its history and is very up on it, too.
Okay, line five, Fred in Miami. We already have the answer to that barefoot mailman question.
Right.
If you want to hang on for another one, I'll get to you. But otherwise, if you could hang up and open the line up for others. Isabel in Hollywood, hi.
Yes. Am I on?
Yes.
Okay, so the question was, what novel did Hemingway write while living in his home in Key West? And I think that was Farewell to Arms.
No. It's interesting because that comes out a bit later, and perhaps a little portion of it was written in Key West, but I'm talking about virtually the entire novel that I'm looking at was written in Key West.
Oh, okay. They should tell the guides. I was just took the tour, and that was, I thought that was one thing that was said.
No, this
tour
is pretty apparent, though, and this is pretty common knowledge about this novel in Key West.
Can I give a hint about this? Since
sure,
no one's
of course,
getting it.
Of course.
It's not one of his most well-known novels.
Right. But it was made into a movie.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
But it's still not
right.
One of his weller known.
Right, right.
Okay, ease up on the hints now.
Okay, okay.
We have lines open, 1-800-743-WLRN, 1-800-743-9576. Now, we named almost all of his novels, so we ought to be able to get it.
Process of elimination now.
Kelly in Weston, hi.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm wondering if the novel that he wrote while he resided in Key West was For Whom the Bell Tolls.
No.
Hmm. Okay.
Around the same time period, but not quite.
Okay, thank you.
Actually,
okay.
I'm going to give another hint. Remember Lauren Bacall?
Yes.
You just put your lips together and blow.
Now they'll get it. Well, let me read your question again about Henry Flagler, because...
Oh, yeah, the Overseas Highway.
After Henry Flagler's Overseas Railroad was destroyed by the 35 hurricane... how was the overseas highway developed through Monroe County under, how was it funded? How was it developed? Mm. Okay. And you're also asking for the name of our studio, named after
the performance studio.
Performance studio, named after the radio manager from the early 50s to the mid-90s.
In fact, his birthday was Saturday, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I saw that.
And we move along to Nick. He's in Fort Lauderdale. Hi.
Hi, has the Hemingway answer been given yet?
No.
No, it hasn't.
Was it For Whom the Bell Tolls?
No.
No.
Do I get another shot?
No.
Okay.
Ed in Pompano, hi.
Hello?
Hello. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Ed from Pompano?
Yes.
How about Islands in the Stream?
No. About Bimini and thereabouts, no.
All right, thank you.
Okay, now I just want to, you have another question out here, Paul. The Key West Denison who kept
yes.
a home in Coconut Grove so he could enjoy productions of his works, who was he? I could give a hint on that one, too. But I won't.
Okay, we've got somebody who wants to tackle that one. This is Renata in Miami. Hi.
Hello. I believe the playwright was Tennessee Williams.
Yes.
All
yes.
right. Okay, do you have a question?
A man in the aviation business who lived on Key Biscayne and his airline, he had an airline from seaplane, I believe it was Palm Beach, to Key West.
Pappy Chalk?
No. Hmm. He had a very large home on Key Biscayne for quite a few years and wrote a book, authored the book, Take Off into Greatness, about his pioneering in the airline business, and he was in competition with Howard Hughes.
Was it strictly a seaplane operation?
It was a seaplane operation.
Hmm. You've got me. Pappy Chalk is the name that comes to me when I think about seaplanes down here.
A Grover Learning.
Oh.
Is the name.
Well, thank you.
Okay. And I love your program.
Thank
Keep
you.
It up.
Okay. And we move along to Charlie.
Yes.
In Miami.
The Sun Also Rises.
No.
Sorry, Charlie.
Sorry. Okay, Paul, you need another question. You only have one, which is, what novel did Ernest Hemingway Penn Wallachie West resident.
Right. Okay. Here's another question. This Miami Beach Hemingway, tend to be using this word a lot today, oversaw the abortive effort to create an economically depressed southern edge of his community, Miami Beach, late 70s, early 80s, still another Venice of America. Who was this person who overlooked this redevelopment authority for the lower tip of Miami Beach?
Okay.
Okay.
So we go to Al and Davey. Hi.
Yes, hi. I'd like to answer the question about Hemingway, please.
Okay.
And I think the answer is to have and have not.
Yes.
Finally.
Sitting. Great.
Yes.
My dad was born in Key West. So I'm very happy to hear that.
That's great. Congratulations.
We used to have some old-time radio programs on. We had Lauren Bacall and Humphrey Bogart doing a radio version of To Have and Have Not from like 1951 on the Lux Radio Theater.
You cut him off before he could ask a question.
Oh.
Well, he can call back.
What was his name?
I don't remember.
Al?
Whoever answered the question of To Have or Have Not, if you call back, you can ask a question.
I got carried away. And where are we?
Okay, you have two questions, the one about the overseas highway, how was that developed, and the radio studio was named after the radio station manager from the early 50s to the mid-90s. Do you want another one?
Yes, I'll put another one on. What was the original name of I-95 through Dade County? The original name of I-95 through Dade County. And we don't have any callers right now.
Okay, so Paul.
Paul had another question.
Sure, I'd be happy to. The fabled, somewhat decadent club opened in Stiltsville in 1940 and was taken out by a fire in 1961. Name this Stiltsville club. There were actually three clubs there. This was the first in Stiltsville, a real party place.
Hmm.
Also, a lot of tourists were brought there, and they would party on deck and what have you.
Are there any clubs left there?
None.
Okay.
But they were infamous in their time.
I guess you spent some time there during your salad days.
Huh? I had a lot of salad days, Joe, but I don't think I was out there for that.
Our number, 1-800-743-WLRN. 1-800-743-9576. And a quick recap.
Okay, quick recap. It's the South Florida History Quiz with Joe Cooper and Dr. Paul George. And we're looking for answers to the following questions. This Miami Beach heavyweight oversaw the abortive effort to create an economically depressed southern edge of his community, in economically depressed southern edge of his community, the late 70s, early 80s, still another Venice of America. Who was that attempted to do that? And this fabled, somewhat decadent club opened in Stiltsville in 1940, was taken out by a fire in 61. Those are Dr. George's questions, and yours are, we're still looking for how the overseas highway was developed after the overseas railroad was destroyed.
So there's two highway questions for me.
By?
One is the I-95,
right.
Its original name.
The original name of I-95 through Dade County, and the name of our studio, our performance studio at WLRN, named after the radio station manager.
And you don't have to get the middle initial.
Okay.
Let's see, Charlie in Miami, hi.
Hello, would I-95 be the North-South Expressway?
You got it.
Lucky guess.
And how about the Dolphin or 836? What was its original name?
Don Shula.
No. Hmm. It uses the same logic. It was the East-West Expressway.
Oh, well. All righty.
Do you have a question?
I don't. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
And we move to Gloria in Delray Beach. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
Sunshine Parkway?
Oh, no. We got it already. It's the North-South Expressway.
I didn't hear. Bye.
Okay.
Thank you.
Let's see. And Sam and Kendall wants to answer that same question. We have that. Wait a minute. Valerie in Biscayne Park.
Correct.
Is this the Valerie I know?
It's the Valerie everybody knows. Valerie Wisecracker.
Well, keep it clean, Valerie.
Keep it clean. Keep it clean. All right. Just like our Miami. Keep it clean.
Okay, so the answer.
The answer is the great, the fabulous, the awesome Roger Cavina.
Ooh.
All right.
Very good.
There we go.
You have a question?
Roger hired me at the station.
That's right.
And do you have a question for us?
Yeah, why did Roger hire you, Joe? No, I'm a know-it-all. I know the answer to everything. I don't need to ask a question. Enjoy the show. You know that.
That was good, bye. Valerie.
Valerie's a very well-known folks performer from South Florida. She's been here for many, many years.
Okay, so, Joe, you only have one question left.
Okay. They got the expressway. Cooper City in Broward, incorporated 1959. Who was Cooper? Who is Cooper City in Broward
Where was
named
this?
For? That's number 10.
Oh.
And Aaron in Fort Lauderdale. Hi.
Yes. Good afternoon.
Yes.
I am calling the Overseas Highway. Wasn't that paid for as a CCC program?
Very good.
Fine.
Very good.
All
under
right.
the New Deal, Works Progress Administration,
right.
and CCC.
WPA and CCC.
Do you have a question for us, Aaron?
I actually do. Unfortunately, it's a question I don't have an answer for, which is why I'm asking. But I was kind of curious. Does either of y'all know who Bobby Maduro was? And
yeah,
for why they had that old baseball stadium named for him?
Right.
I think he was a national Cuban hero in baseball.
He was a baseball hero and a baseball, both a player and a manager. And so the stadium was renamed for him some time ago.
But what was the connection, though, like to Miami? You know,
well, because Miami
baseball
has...
baseball stadium in the fruit packing district until, of course, it got torn down, 15 years ago?
Oh,
20
yes,
years ago.
Yes, yes. Well, the connection was the Cuban love for baseball and the many Cubans who were in Miami and are in Miami.
Oh.
And it was built by a Cuban, Jose Alamán, back in 1950. The stadium itself.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, excellent. Thank you. Very informative.
That was a great place to watch a game. Sometimes we'd play hooky at the station and go over there for an afternoon spring training game. Nice.
I'm glad that Don McCullough and others who hire you didn't know that. But, Joe, it was considered to be the finest minor league stadium in America in terms of view and
there were no
comfort,
columns.
No columns at all, right. And rest back chairs. Mm-hmm.
Joe, you only have one question out.
Okay.
Which is Cooper City was incorporated in 1959. Who was Cooper?
Okay. No relation, by the way. What was the original name of the city of Miami Springs? The original name of the city of Miami Springs. And we'll move along to line 10. Phil, Coral Gables, hi.
Yeah, the name was developer for South Beach.
Yes, and the name?
It's Thomas Kramer.
Well, it isn't, but I wanted to make it clear. This was a gentleman in charge of a redevelopment agency that wanted to reinvent South Beach, essentially from 6th Street to the tip of the beach in the late 70s, early 80s.
I thought it was Thomas Kramer.
No. But thank you.
Sorry.
Thank you.
And Bill in Homestead. Hi. Bill.
Yes.
Wake up.
I'm here.
Go ahead.
Okay, the name of the club, it still was a quarterback club.
Yes, indeed.
All right.
Thank you.
And you have a question for us?
Yeah, the question is, how old was Henry Flagler when he started the Overseas Highway?
Well, he started the Overseas Railroad. He died in 1913 at age 83. He began the Overseas Railroad at the end of 1904, beginning of 1905. So
he was
78. Mid-70s, yeah. Mm-hmm.
78.
Okay.
Okay.
Great. Okay, Paul, you need another question.
Okay. This Broward County heavyweight, boy, I've got a lot of heavyweights.
You have heavyweights
this
in here.
This is unbelievable.
Jake LaMotta.
Is this on boxing?
Or? Well, actually, I wrote it very quickly under a lot of duress from my director to get this thing done. This Broward County heavyweight turned over his Pioneer department store in downtown Fort Lauderdale for a USO in World War II. Name this heavyweight.
Do you have any lightweights in your question?
He was the unofficial boss of Broward County. In the mid-century.
Okay, and we're still looking for the original name of the city of Miami Springs.
Mm-hmm.
And Rita, we've gotten the Flagler Overseas Highway question. It was the CCC. And Seth, we also got the Stiltsville. If you want to hang on for a different question, otherwise... okay. Let's go to Barry in Fort Lauderdale.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Is the answer of Mayor Roosevelt for Miami Beach redevelopment in the 60s?
No. No, he was. He was mayor a little before that time.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Our number, 1-800-743-9576. 1-800-743-WLRN.
We're looking for the original name of the city of Miami Springs. We're looking for who was Cooper City named after. And this Broward County heavyweight turned over his Pioneer department store for a USO in World War II. Name him. And this Miami Beach heavyweight oversaw the abortive effort to create an economically depressed southern edge of his community. Is still another Venice of America. Who was he?
And I still have the Cooper City.
Yeah, I just read that one.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at the board. Zanna in Miami. Hi.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Hi, I have the answer for Cooper City, mm-hmm. The name. His name is Morris Cooper. I think he founded it in like 1959, I believe.
He was incorporated in 59. Very good. Do you live there?
No. I just know a little bit.
He was a Russian immigrant who made a fortune in the garment trade and bought orange groves in Broward County.
Oh, that's really interesting. Thank you.
How about a question for us?
No question, just enjoying the questions and answers. I actually had an answer for Hemingway. I was on the line and someone answered it, so I had to call.
That must
again.
Have driven you crazy when you knew the answer.
It really did.
Right.
Thank you, though.
Thank you. Okay, and, Joe, do you want to do another question?
Let's take Robert in Miami Beach first.
Hi. I'd like to answer the question for the head of the redevelopment for South Beach.
Yes.
And that would be Stephen Muss.
Stephen Muss, and he owned the Fountain Blue at the time. And incidentally, he headed a sports authority in the 70s, early 80s that was looking at the site for a new Orange Bowl. He wanted to build it in the FEC Railway Yards, which is where Midtown is today. Mm-hmm. And never got very far with it, but that was an interesting thing.
And Muss actually took over the Fountain Blue from the builder.
From the Novak people.
The Novaks.
Right, exactly, back in the late 70s.
They were heavily in debt. And
right.
Yeah, there is an interesting part in Alex Dow's book that came out with him visiting Stephen Muss in his penthouse apartment on Collins Avenue, which makes for an interesting read. But I have a question for Dr. Paul George.
Okay.
Who was the mayor of Miami? Who was the predecessor to Robert King High?
High was mayor from 1957 till 1967 when he died. I'm going to say Abe Aronowitz.
I think it was William Wolfhard.
No, he came before Aronowitz. He was there 50-51 was Bill Wolfhard.
Well, that happened to be my grandfather.
Oh, that's interesting. I know the family well, and he was quite a person. He ran Cushman Bakery, which was a not quite a chain, but some bakeries in Miami going back in time. That's interesting. Yeah, he was quite a guy. He was quite a guy.
We my mother and I took a Miami history course with you at Miami.
That's great.
Probably about 10 years ago.
Wonderful. I hope you did well in it.
Yes.
That's great. Well, sounds good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Okay.
Thanks.
And it's the South Florida History Quiz with Dr. Paul George and Joseph Cooper. On today's topical currents, we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we'll ask some more questions, take more of your calls.
We'd like to thank our corporate underwriters, Miami City Ballet, Contour Graphics, and Bethesda Health. These corporate underwriters help bring you the programs you enjoy throughout the year. Please join WLRN in thanking them for their continued support.
Crowded beaches, bad traffic, and sunburn. Sure signs of tourists in South Florida. Visitors leave behind billions of dollars in our community, making tourism one of our most important economic drivers. I'm Tom Hudson. Join us tonight at 7 for the Sunshine Economy, Selling Paradise, Tourism in South Florida, right here on WLRN.
You've reached a certain age. You're viewed as a success. Still, you are not immune. The disease of addiction doesn't discriminate based on age or status. West Palm Beach's Hanley Center is considered a center of excellence for comprehensive addiction treatment and recovery for older adults and baby boomers. Hanley Center for Older Adult and Boomer Recovery. Details at 855-718-2233. Hanley Center, Recovery for Life. 855-718-2233.
And welcome back to today's Topical Currents. Bonnie Berman here with Joseph Cooper and Dr. Paul George. It's the South Florida History Quiz. And we're looking for more questions now. We have two questions remaining that are still haven't been answered. This Broward County heavyweight turned over his Pioneer department store for a USO in World War II. Name him. And the only other question that hasn't been answered, what was the original name of the city of Miami Springs? So you both want to ask some more questions?
Okay, we can't put too many out there.
Okay.
What South Florida locality, this is my final one, number 20. What South Florida locality is known as Little Managua because of the high density of Nicaraguan residents? What South Florida locality is known as Little Managua?
And Paul?
The controversial mansion in the center of a large developer historic preservationist dispute today on Star Island hosted the Al Pacino character in which movie?
Actually, you know, I saw something in the paper that wasn't true, that wasn't that movie. Mm. There was an article a few days ago interviewing that couple. But anyway.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah,
and the number is 1-800-743-9576, 1-800-743-9576.
And we go to Adrian in Pinecrest. Hi.
Hi, I think I have an answer for the original name of Miami Springs.
Uh-huh.
Is it Country Club Estates?
You got it. Bingo. How about a question for us?
Yeah, I had a question. I've always wondered about this. I understand that before Miami was incorporated, there was a military base here called Fort Dallas.
Right.
And I was wondering where the name came from.
Well, base is really too grandiose a term for a very small military installation that was here in the 1830s, 40s, and 50s during the Second, Third Seminole Wars. The name comes from a naval officer who apparently was in the area in an earlier time. And it really refers to, I think, the beginnings of Fort Dallas, which were located on Key Biscayne before it moved to the north bank of the Miami River.
Great. Thanks a lot.
You're okay. Very welcome.
Thanks for your call. I'll add one more quick one. In 1967, WTVJ, which of course now is NBC6, became the first TV station in the country to have a female sportscaster. Can you name her? 1967, WTVJ, first station in the country to have a female sportscaster.
Okay.
And we go back to our callers. There's three or four people hanging on for Miami Springs. We did get that answer. It was Country Club Estate, the original name of Miami Springs. Sandra in Miramar. Hi. Sandra?
Yes, hi.
Go ahead.
Is Little Managua, is that Sweetwater?
Yes.
Very good. And also, Paul, tell us about the troop of Russian dwarfs that retired there.
Well, it's said that going back as far as the 1930s, yeah. And at that point, the place had only been drained, formerly being Everglades swampland, for about 20 years, had moved into that area, and that was its great notoriety and fame at that point, was the Russian troop of undersized folks.
Undersized phones.
Trying to be politically correct as possible.
Okay, we're sorry that we just got disconnected. If you have a question, we forgot your name that answered the question about Sweetwater, please call us back if you have a question for either Joseph Cooper or
Paul George.
What
do we have open
now? Okay, the only thing we have open is the first sportscaster in 1967, the first female sportscaster, woman sportscaster on WTVJ. And Paul still has two questions. The Broward County boss who turned over his Pioneer department store for a USO in World War II, and the controversial mansion in the center of a large developer preservationist dispute on Star Island hosted the Al Pacino character in which movie?
Jerry in Fort Lauderdale, you're up. Hi.
Hi, this is Jerry Williams in Fort Lauderdale.
Hi.
Good. Hi, the hotel magnet to turn, oh no, the store magnet to turn his store over to the USO in World War II was Mr. Burdine, Burdine's department store.
No. But thank you, though.
Can I try another one?
Quickly.
Okay, the sportscaster was Ann Bishop.
No.
Okay, sorry. Bye.
Ann Bishop didn't do sports.
No.
We moved to Ozzy in Miami. Hi. Ozzy.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Yes, for the female sportscaster.
Okay.
Is that James Chastain?
Correct. Very good.
Great.
And do you have a question?
I have an inquiry. What happened to the Kapok tree? I remember my parents taking me there when I was a little kid.
The restaurant in West Broward County?
Yes.
It closed at least a couple decades ago.
Wow.
Very famous place in its time.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, we've only got a few minutes left. Let's see, Rodney and Dane, yeah, we got that sportscaster. That was Jane Chastain. And let's go to Howard in Homestead. Hi. Howard.
How you doing?
Good.
The movie was Scarface.
All right.
You got it.
The question I have is, there was a previous name for Key West prior to it becoming Key West. And if I'm not mistaken, it began with the letter A.
Well, Juan Ponce de Leon referred to the whole chain as the Martyrs in Spanish. And another name was a Spanish term for bones that was a reference to the area. But that's really the extent of what I know about earlier names for Key West.
The reason I bring that up, because on the show the other day, they were talking about a different name for Key West, like Allentown or something like that.
Oh, yeah. One of my callers was saying that.
That's correct.
Could have been Jeff Klinkenberg?
I think it's when we were on with, yeah, I think
it
so.
It may have been. And if that was what he said, you could take that to the bank.
So that was the question. And
good question.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
All right. Have a nice day. I love your show.
I don't even remember our own programs.
Okay. We only have one question outstanding. Bye-bye. It's the Broward County boss who turned over his Pioneer department store for USO in World War II. And I don't know, Joe, you want to ask a quick one?
Okay. What was the first hospital established in Broward County? The first hospital established in Broward County.
Okay, we just have a couple
of
minutes.
And we'll try Bruce in Palmetto Bay. Hi.
Hi, I had the Jane Chastain, but you guys got that one already.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question anyway?
Well, we're really short on time. Go ahead.
Okay, in the original Dayland Mall, there was a store that sold knickknacks and kind of counterculture stuff. Do either of you know the name of that store?
I don't, but I will tell you the Sunglass Hut began there.
Okay. Well, relating to something earlier, it was called the Barefoot Mailman.
Oh, of course. Of course.
And
Yeah.
Did that have any relation to the story you were telling earlier?
Just to take off on that really romanticized idea of these mail
carriers.
Okay,
we got to run, Bruce. Thanks.
Okay, bye.
We're really short on time. Let's go to Ellen. She's got the department store answer. Ellen.
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead.
Pop Sterling's Menswear.
No, but thank you.
Thank you.
And Paul, we're getting down to the end of things. Why don't you, before we run out of time, give that contact info for you.
Right. If you want to reach me regarding my classes in Miami history or the tours, my office number is 305-237-3723. 237-3723.
And when's that Stiltsville tour?
Stiltsville tour is this Sunday morning from 9 until 11:30 through History Miami.
Are there spaces available?
There is some space available, yes. And they can call History Miami at 305-375-1621. 375-1621.
Okay, and Joe's question outstanding, the first hospital in Broward County.
I've got a caller here that says first hospital in Miami, but that's not what was asked, was it? No. Anyway, the answer to that is Edwards Maxwell Hospital. It was constructed in the early 1920s. Broward General opened in 1938. So the first hospital established in Broward was the Edwards Maxwell Hospital.
Okay, and Paul's question, we never got it.
The answer is Robert H. Gore, who was this heavyweight who came down from the Midwest, bought a lot of land, bought two newspapers in Fort Lauderdale, and bought this department store that he later turned over. He was very patriotic.
And where was it? Downtown?
It was in downtown Fort Lauderdale on Los Olas Boulevard. Huge USO.
Well, I think we've wrapped everything up, correct, Bonnie?
Yes, we have.
Well, we always like to have a neat tie-up.
Yes.
And that wraps up our quiz edition. Thanks to producer Richard Ives. Technical direction from Michael Stock. Paul Leary is online producer. Apologies to those callers we couldn't get on the air. We tried our best. Remember, free audio archives and downloads at our website, WLRN.org. Also, lots of pertinent links and more at the Topical Currents Facebook page. Tomorrow's program is with a nuclear arms expert, Ward Wilson. He says the visceral dread of nuclear doomsday is overblown. He's written 5 myths about nuclear weapons. And to the calendar. On this day, 1926, 87 years ago, the birth of beat poet Allen Ginsberg in Newark. He had intentions to be a labor lawyer, but wrote poetry most of his life. He died of liver cancer in 1997. Also on this day in 1929, 84 years ago, the birth of quirky producer and game host Chuck Barris in Oakland, New Jersey. He created the newlywed game, the dating game, and of course, the Gong Show. He claimed to be a CIA assassin. Remember the infernal hand clapping between sentences? One more. While we still wonder just what he supposedly did for a living on the sitcom, on this day in 1975, 38 years ago, the death of band leader and TV pioneer Ozzie Nelson. The adventures of Ozzie and Harriet epitomized the nuclear family of the 1950s. Ricky and David. Our theme music, created by the talented Michael Levine. And we leave with a thought from Allen Ginsberg, best known for the poem Howl. Quote, "Poets are damned, but see with the eyes of angels." Joseph Cooper for Bonnie Berman and Dr. Paul George. Stay tuned now for the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.